In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.
So for those who are in the altar, we're actually going to go through quite a bit of verses, so it might be easier for you if you want to see the small presentation that's been put up. I want to start with maybe just some statistics that I heard just this week, and it was about happiness and are you satisfied? And it was Legend Marketing, which is a famous marketing, and they take polls. And they took polls, and it was a worldwide thing. Are you happy? Was the question. And it was questions to the nations. So I'm not gonna. I heard this, so I couldn't capture all the data. So I captured some of the data that I thought was significant. So let's talk about one of the arguably the most powerful and richest countries of the world, which is of course the United States. The United States has everything, right? You got your food, you got in and out, you got all the luxuries of life. You got the houses, you got the cars, you got the easy life, right? The American dream and all that stuff. Out of 100% people, what would you guess would be the percentage of people that were said that were happy in the United States, which they claim to be as the best country in the whole world? Over 50 or under 50 even? 34%. Okay? I don't know how clear it is up there. 34%. To put that in perspective, they're less happy than Afghanistan. Okay, Afghanistan we can understand. Afghanistan, you go, you get blown up. Afghanistan, they've been in war for the last 10 years. Afghanistan is not going to be the place that I'm going to go on Expedia tomorrow and go on vacation with my family. But the U.S., 34%. 34%. As opposed to, I just captured the top, was just Fiji and Nigeria. Okay, if you're living in a paradise island, I can understand why you're happy. But Nigeria, an African country that seemingly has nothing, but they are happy. I'm sure in this room, nobody knows who this person is, but I'm trying to take experiences of just this week that I felt that God was bringing to this sermon. And this was a famous football player that retired a few years ago. His name is Junior Seau, and he played for the San Diego in California. He was one of the best that ever played this position. He played linebacker, and for those who don't understand football, it's a very key position. You got the key person who throws, and then you got the big fat people in front of him who protect him, and then you got bigger, fatter people that try to go through the other fat people to get him. Behind them is the linebacker. The linebacker, very key. He tackles. He runs. He's very athletic. He's very sharp, very athletic, very strong, very fast. He played this position. He was the best and made or had about $28.2 million is what they said that he had. That's about $28 million more than I probably will ever see. He died this week, this Tuesday. He committed suicide. 43 years old. 43 years old, California, ex-superstar football player, and he killed himself. I want to tell you about another man that I know you know of. His name is King Solomon. And there's a great biography in chapter 2 of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, it goes through, and all these are bullets. And this is, Ecclesiastes is after he repented. So he's going through a lot of the learnings that he went through as the wisest man that ever lived. And that's what the Bible calls him. The wisest, is no one wiser before, no one wiser after. So therefore, by default, he is the wisest man that ever lived. And that's, the Bible doesn't exaggerate. So this is what he went for in terms of his life. So I'm going to go through just the blue words, just for the sake of time. So, and this is directly from the Bible, okay? Wine, as much wine as he wanted. He tried to fulfill and satisfy himself with wine. He tried to satisfy himself with houses, vineyards, gardens, nice little fruit trees, so he can have some nice fresh fruit salad in his mornings. A nice swimming pool, you know, maybe with a diving board and a little twirly slide and you know, whatever, rubber duckies. Nice swimming pool that he can have and swim anytime he wants. Servants, herds, flocks, silver and gold, of course. More, The Bible says there wasn't as many, like gold was so common as like you probably see the dandelions out there right now. That's how common gold was in the time of Solomon. Singers, so I became great. So not only he had everything, he was also great, right? Remember the Queen of Sheba? She came all the way from the far country just to go visit this wise man. So he became great. Now look at the verse, the next verse, because this is not all an inclusive list. Whatever my eyes desires, I did not keep from them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure. So all this list, plus anything my eyes saw, anything my eyes saw, I did not say no to them. Okay, and we know about his wives. So he had one wife, maybe I'll try a second. Maybe I'll try a tenth. Maybe I'll try a 100th. How about 700? Okay, forget about the wives. Okay, the wives, they nag a little bit and go clean your room and pick up your socks and, you know, we got to do the flowers and chocolate. How about a concubine, a mistress? All they care, you know, is just for my physical satisfaction. 100% physical satisfaction. So I'll get myself a mistress along with my 700 wives. Maybe 10. Maybe 100. Maybe 300. No. Why is he not satisfied? Remember this thing? Remember this thing when we were kids or parents who have young kids? Or do they not do that now? Is it all like tablets and they drag and drop? Or is it all virtual now? I don't know. But when we were kids and you know, we used to have these little pegs. And you put the round pegs in the round holes. You put the square pegs in the square holes. Americans and most of the world, Junior Seau, King Solomon, was trying to put a square peg in a round hole. It's foolishness. That's what they're trying to do. Solomon also said this. All things are full of labor. Man cannot express it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing. The ear not filled with hearing. And he's not just talking about eyes and ears. He's taking the physical is not satisfied. It cannot satisfy. Why? Why can it not satisfy? Very simple. There's one creator. The God of heaven and earth. Who created all things, seen and unseen, and all that is therein. He created us with a hole, right here. He created us with a hole, right here. That hole is, he has put eternity in their hearts. He has put eternity. What is their eternity? Eternal life. Well, who's eternal life? I gave it away when I said who. What's eternal life? Who's eternal life? Jesus. He has put you, there's a hole. And there's only one, I won't call it a thing, how can I call Jesus a thing? There's one person, only. And this is how, so he made me, whatever, Egyptian, you know, 5'3", black hair, whatever. He made somebody else, 6'2", da-da-da-da-da-da-da. He made us all, but every single one of us has this hole. And that hole, it can only be filled with him. We get back to our beautiful story of the Samaritan woman. And we're going to take our takeaways from this gospel that we just read. The readings, first of all, the readings in the Holy 50 are amazing. Amazing. Each one, it's like we all know the journey that we go through the Great Lent, and we go through, and I feel, my opinion only, even a better journey, even a better, like, just different, but nice, very nice journey in the Holy 50. And maybe we're not used to, maybe we don't follow it as much or whatever because we get involved. Yes, now we can eat whatever, you know, and yes, the weather is getting nicer. But like the spirit of the church is even more fiery, even more fiery. And one thing, this has nothing to do with the sermon, but like one thing I would encourage to help to keep that fire is to go through the readings. We all go through the readings during the Great Lent, right? And many of you go and attend the liturgies and whatever. Now there's no liturgies, but read the readings. It costs you 3 minutes. 3 minutes a day. 3 minutes a day, they're so short and they're so rich. And you could see the whole theme of the week and the whole 50. Okay? They're all, I'm sure you can get access to them. They're beautiful readings that are done every day. There's a problem here. There's a problem that, Jesus went through this woman, went through this Samaritan, and there was three major faux pas that happened here. Number one, she's a woman. Men and women do not talk to each other. Men and women alone do not talk to each other, especially. So he was alone. So this doesn't happen. Okay? This doesn't happen in Jewish culture. Strike number two, she's a Samaritan. As Abuna read in the Gospel, and as you know, the Jews and Samaritans don't get along. Number three, she was an adulterer. An adulterer. An adulteress. She was a bad woman. She was a very bad woman. There's one word that we want to focus on, which answers everything that we covered. And he would have given you living water. That's the main message that we want to cover through in the next few minutes. The water that we will never thirst again. Remember? All these people, add, are thirsty. He's giving something, never thirst. And it's only not only never thirst, but it's a fountain of living water. This means one thing. I am stupid. That's the conclusion. And just because maybe I said a bad word, it's a biblical word. Solomon, not Solomon, Proverbs. The last two chapters of Proverbs are not written by Solomon. Surely I am more stupid than any man. That's how I feel. Okay? Don't go around using stupid. Okay, just use it in the Bible only. So, why are we stupid? We'll find the answer in Jeremiah. A very good description of what's happening in Jeremiah. For my people have committed two evils. What are the two evils? They have forsaken the God of the living waters, and hewn themselves cisterns. Broken cisterns that can hold no water. Let's say this in English. Okay? Let's say this. They made two mistakes. They forgot God, number one mistake, and they built their own little buckets. And what's wrong with the buckets? They're broken. So, look at this picture. We have, and he described this today in the map, we have a fountain. But I choose a bucket. And how great is my bucket? There's a hole in my bucket, dear Liza. There's a hole in my bucket. That's the problem. There's a hole. I fill, but there's a hole. And that's how we are. And I'm sure we've all experienced this, right? When we, getting a chance where, you splurge a little bit on the food. Saturday brunch, or if you get off early, whatever, maybe a Sunday brunch if you're on vacation or something, and you eat, you can't put a drop of water on top. You are done, right? And if you're smart and experienced, you kind of go into those with those nice little stretchy pants and, you're ready for that stuff. You're full, right? I said, I'm not going to eat for a week. That's it. I'm done with food. I'm done with food. Not me. I hear about this stuff happening. So you're done with food. 6 o'clock comes around. What's for dinner? What happened? You were full. Were you or were you not? Are we running on empty? Are we really thirsty for God? Thirsty, as Psalm 42 says, as the deer is panting. How the deer pants. For my soul, oh my God, my soul thirsts for the God. My soul thirsts for God. Are we at that point? So now we've described the problem. So this was made manifest very quickly to me. So I said, okay, God, what do you want? God, now I have, what's the solution? The solution is amazing with God. And my microphone doesn't reach. The solution is right in that red book, the Katameros. Every time I have the blessings of sharing a sermon, every answer to everything is within the readings. Number one. So we have three C's that we want to cover. Three C's, what do I do? So I hope we admit that there's a problem in terms of the satisfactions of this world. So if you're thirsty, come to Him. Step one. Come to Him. Come to Him. Isaiah says it amazingly. Isaiah is a rich, rich book. He says, ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, Come to the water. Come by and eat. Yes, come by, not only by what? By wine and milk. Without money, without price. Come by that. How can I buy anything without money? Come buy waters. In a few verses later, he says, come to me. So he's equating himself with the waters. Right? And John chapter 7, a few more chapters after the Samaritan woman, she said, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Just to tie in Isaiah and Jesus. Isaiah and Jesus said the same thing. It's only come to him. What does that mean practically? What does that mean? Before we get to what it means, I said the readings, one of the first reading that's like just hit me was the psalm. The psalm right before the gospel. Let's read the psalm. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord. What do we think that the Lord wants us to do? Just to like just obey his commandments and just, you know, like just do it and that's it? He wants to bless. That's what the Lord wants to do. With him is blessings. There are like, I had a very tough time taking, just making these verses on one page. And I would love to add more because this is one of my favorite attributes of God on how much he wants to bless his children. I have come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and your joy may be full. You getting the theme here? You're seeing this, the dots being connected? In your presence is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, having sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance of good work. Right? You probably recognize that from the liturgy. You see the words here? Fullness, abundance, plenty, joy, full, all these things. This is what the Lord wants to give us. So we are, don't come with a bucket. Don't come with the broken bucket. Come to him. The best way to come to him is relationship. Is relationship. Establish a relationship with his holy word. Establish a relationship in your prayers. Prayers like not the ones like Abuna, this, if you remember Abuna in the Bascha of Sunday night, he talked about prayer not as a duty, as a love. That kind of prayer, that kind of reading where it's a relationship. I didn't say worship, a relationship with him. Obeying and trusting in everything that he says. So I have that relationship with his word. I have something that he hears and tells me through prayers and through his readings. I have the ability to come to him in complete obedience, complete trust, knowing that his ways are higher than my ways and his thoughts than my thoughts, as Isaiah says. And 100, like you see all these ads, you know, we'll give you this and you'll be satisfied 100%. This is the only true 100% satisfaction guaranteed, who can only satisfy. Number two, confront sin. Confront sin. Oh no. Can we just go back to the come to him and this fullness of joy? Why do we have to enter with sin in this conversation? Why? Like we were just fine. Can we just come to him? Well, let's go back to our story. Did Jesus just like bring fullness of joy? What did he first tell her? He said, go call your husband and come here. Uh-oh, there's a problem here. Go call your husband. She said, I have no husband. She wasn't a liar. She said, yeah, okay, very good. Very good Samaritan woman. Technically, you're right. You have no husband. You had five, but right now you don't have a husband. You're right. You have this bozo that you're with right now, but you're right, he's not your husband. There's a problem here. You have to go fix this problem. You have to fix this problem. You have to, second C, confront sin. So you come to him, you confront sin. And I said the answers are always in the readings. And I have the blessings of actually reading this today. And it's Colossians, one of my favorite chapters ever, Colossians 3. Put to death. Remember, confront sin. We have to put to death what? fornication, uncleanness, passions, evil desires, idolatry, covetousness, which is idolatry. All these things. Put to death. Put off. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language, all that stuff. I have to. I can't just come. I have to put off. I have to put to death before anything. And put on, because I can't put on if I don't put off. Put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. What do you think is the correct statement? There's two statements up there. The way to Jesus is holiness, or the way to holiness is Jesus. Which one is right? Number one or number two? Way to Jesus is holiness, or way to holiness is Jesus. Who says number one? Who says number two? Who's already just thinking of their lunch downstairs? I'll help you get the answer. For the clicker. Sin completely separates me from God. Completely. And there's only one way. One way. And that is Jesus. How can I be holy without Jesus? How can I be holy? How can I expect to be holy if Jesus doesn't make me holy? How can I be righteous if I don't take the righteousness of God? But we think that. We think I can't come to church. I can't become a servant. I can't do this. I can't do this because I'm not holy. No. It's I need Jesus to be holy. The church is a hospital. And if you come early, very early, and it's a beautiful litany, the litany of the sick. Beautiful litany. Beautiful litany. That comes and it's why does the church praise this every time? You don't know all the prayers that Abuna does before we even get here. But I would encourage you to read it and more encourage you to come and attend it. It's a beautiful litany that discusses this, but it's very long and we're running out of time. So the church, basically why we pray that, because the church is not the place of holy, of just holy people and the saints. The church is specifically for the sick. Specifically for those who want to come and be made well. So, come, the church is, or Jesus says, yes, come as we are. Come exactly as you are. However, don't leave as you were. Don't leave as you were. We come like a hospital. We come, like imagine you go into the hospital and you have a broken arm. You come and you tell the doctor, my arm is broken and this is what happened, I played this, and he comes and he fixes it and everything is fantastic. I can also come to the doctor and my arm is broken and I look and I sit in a waiting room and, you know, kind of like check out the people and, you know, I get to see the doctor in action, that's fantastic, and I go home. No healing. I come to church, I see a wonderful procession, I see and I hear great Christos Anesti. I come, I look, very nice, and I go back. Or I come, and I even come, and my arm is broken, and I even get to the doctor. Doctor says, what's wrong? Nothing. What do you mean? What's happening? I'm just like, you know, like, yeah, doctor. Isaiah, doctor, how are you? Isaiah, madame, how's everything? Well, what's wrong? No, nothing's wrong. Nothing's wrong. I see your arm is... No, see, look. No, there's nothing wrong. Nothing wrong with me. Nothing wrong. Okay, it's up to you. We can come as we are, but don't leave as you were. Last thing. So if I now know that there's no satisfaction, and that I have to come to him, that I have to confront. What's the natural next step? Natural next step. So imagine, let's walk through this again. I come, I have a plate, and it's full. It's a 5-day-old salami sandwich with a molded banana, and I come, and I have the Keg restaurant, who wants to supply me as much steak as I want. I come to him with a plate that's already full. So he says, no, if you want it, it's a fountain of steaks. Fountain. But you have to empty the stuff. That's confronting sin. So I come, I empty my plate, I dump out the stuff, and I go to the keg over and over. Fountain. What is the natural next step? Wouldn't I tell my wife? Wouldn't I tell my kids? Wouldn't I tell my friends? Number three, the last thing is to call others. Isn't that what she did? She got fixed. And she went out to her city and told everybody, come see. Two words. That's all she said. I found the keg giving free steaks. Come see. Come see. Am I not in charge of my own household? Am I not responsible for my friends? Am I not responsible of whoever God puts in my path? Come see. Okay? We see them in the, and the time is a bit over, but we see them from the Catholic epistle, the Pauline epistle, talks about loving in deed, testifying and preaching. So you today are the Samaritan woman. You today. We're not hearing a story about the Samaritan woman. We are the Samaritan woman. We are the Samaritan woman that we want to come to Him. Come to Him like we described, with relationship, in full obedience and trust, with expecting great things because He's a great God. I confront sin. I don't leave the church as I am. I come, I don't leave. I cannot leave this church as I came in. I address and confront my sin. I praise. We're going to sing right now in 2 seconds. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Jesus Christ, the King of glory, has risen from the dead. Sing with them. The first thing we're going to do is reconciliation. Can we think of the reconciliation? Do we have to confront that sin? Let's go through the liturgy, every step of the liturgy, and confront sin in all that. And then tell others. Maybe bring somebody next week. And glory be to God forever. Amen.